must apologize for starting late. We needed to sort the arrangements of whether there is permission for this committee to sit or not to sit. So we are almost done with that arrangement. We have the agenda in front of you. So we shall start with the first item, which is a consideration of the amendments by the NCOP on the two bills. I suppose that we will start with the planned improvement bill. I'm now going to hand over to the legal division in Parliament to take us through those amendments.
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to all the members, including the Chairperson. The name is Pumela Lengema, Parliamentary Legal Advisor. As the Chairperson has indicated, today we are dealing with the bill that comes from the Second House, the National Council of Provinces, because the Plant Improvement Bill, together with the Plant Breeders' Rights Bill, it were bills that were tagged in terms of Section 76. Which therefore requires the concurrence of both houses in order for the bill to pass through as the bill that has been approved by Parliament. In this regard, in respect of the Plant Improvement Bill, which today we are looking at B8D 2015, so it must be the version that has a D on it. The amendments that the National Council of Provinces considered in respect of this bill, in this aspect, it was literally grammatical. It is in clause 9, which clause 9 deals with the types of businesses that may be conducted. It is just in respect of the second sentence that corresponds with line number 20. There, where it says, or propagating material for cultivation or sale. Initially it was end, and so the council felt that if we say or sale, initially as it was, that it indicated as end, it would give you between both those businesses to cultivate as well as to sale. Whereas you can do them without doing the other. You can be a cultivating organization without having to sell your product. So that is why they requested and proposed the amendment that the end must change into an O. And that is the only change they effected in respect of the Plant Improvement Bill. Hence today it is back to the Portfolio Committee in terms of Joint Rule 184 and 185, so that the committee can deal with it in respect of the National Assembly rules, which also are set out in National Assembly rules 311, 312, as well as 313. So that is the only change in respect of the Plant Improvement Bill, just to change the end from end into O in respect of clause 9. That is all, Chairperson, in respect of the first bill.
Are we agreed, members, that we omit end and substitute it with O? Agreed? Do we all concur? Okay, thank you very much. Next bill.
Thank you, Chairperson. The second bill is the Plant Breeders' Rights Bill, which is Bill 11, now read as B11D of 2015. And in respect of that bill as well, Chairperson, the changes that the National Council of Provinces approved is in respect of clause 30, which is the payment of the annual fee. There, Chairperson, if we look at the D version of the bill, it is on page 14, and you find it around line 15. The first three there, that was initially in the D version that was changed by this committee. This committee had left the period to 3 months, which is the period to allow the person who has applied for the breeder's rights to make the necessary payment that is required in terms of the regulations and the Act itself. So the NCOP felt that perhaps 3 months is rather too short and too constraining, considering whatever is to be done in the process on the part of the breeder, on the part of the breeder that is looking for the breeder's right. So for them, in terms of clause 30, they requested that the change must move from 3 months to 6 months to enable the person that is supposed to make the payment, the annual fee, to ensure that your plant breeder's right is kept intact. That is all also in respect of the plant breeder's rights bill. It was to change the 3 months into 6 months, Chairperson. And again, the same process, like I've indicated, would be followed as has been followed since the bill is now before the portfolio committee. It means that the Speaker has referred it back to the committee, where the committee must concur, and if the committee agrees with the views and the bill that is passed by the NCOP, then the committee will make its recommendation for the House to debate and make a decision whether this bill is passed and taken through to the President. I thank you, Chairperson.
Yes, Chairperson, I would just like to ask, how did they get to that decision? Did they have representation made to them that somebody asked them that it's too short, or did they just decide by themselves? I mean, why would they want to change it? Why did they feel it was necessary to say 3 months is too short and then they will change it to six? Why didn't they change it to a year? What made them do that change?
Any other question? None. As you answer, I think you must also indicate to the committee as to what is your view, having interacted with the NCOP. When we discuss, we also take into consideration the view of the legal division.
Thank you, Chairperson. In respect of the 3 months to the 6 months, Chairperson, it was coming out of the submissions that the committee received, the Select Committee received, as well as the deliberations of the members of the Select Committee when they went through. It was, from the submissions, it was substantiated and explained as to why the other side, that being the plant breeders who apply in respect of this and in order to pay that annual fee and all the intricacies that goes into this process. So the committee felt that they can go ahead with passing this proposition, as it will not be too much on the part of the department, but as well as to take into consideration the views and the request that came from the other parties that are involved in this process, as the applicants who apply to have their breeders' rights protected. So it arose from the submissions that the committee had and the deliberations that the members had taken through. We were also present in respect of the question that was asked by the chairperson to assist the committee and provide the support. And these changes were considered, as well as provided our own opinion to say that, as indicated, in fact, if one looks at the Administration of Justice Act, the 6 months and the 3 months is actually one of the provisions that Act provides in order to ensure that justice is fairly applied on all the parties, whether it's on the government side or it's on the citizens at large. So in that regard, there was no illegality or anything that would make or render this amendment in any way unlawful or unconstitutional. So that is, and in both instances, then, Chairperson, we also supported the committee in making these changes as has been provided and indicated. I thank you, Chair.
So you think 6 months is a reasonable period?
It is a reasonable period, Chairperson, and it will not impact on either side or the work of the department, because this is in respect of paying the annual fee. For instance, if the person for one or other reason has failed to pay within the 3 months, instead of giving into the requirements compliance, the compliance requirements that would have followed in case the person has failed, it allows them enough and sufficient time to say within 6 months, ensure that you check your records and the annual fee is up to date. And that is in respect for this 3 months and the 6 months, Chairperson. I thank you.
Honorable Trevekulu.
Thank you, Chairperson. According to the bill on the original document, it's written in figures, but now on the amendment, it's in words. Which option I would go for to include the words of the figures?
In which document is it written in figures?
Okay. Is that the plant breeders
bit?
Yeah, let's just check whether you have the correct version. Because the one in front of me is in words, so I just got. Or is there any other member who has 6 months in figures? Or is only on our table? Okay, let's get him the correct version. Do you have the correct one now?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, members, are we happy with this minor change? Just to make sure that everybody has got enough time to deal with this matter. Can I get a mover for Honor Madela?
I would for the adoption of it.
Seconder, Honor Van Dalen, thank you very much. So we have disposed of these two bills. I was worried that we might want to go for what is that thing? For mediation, just on just for six. I'm happy that we won't go for mediation for that. Now, honourable members, you are aware that there is a sitting at 10. And unless if there are new developments, item number 2 on the agenda is legislation, which requires the necessary majority. Secondly, you are also aware that in terms of the minutes, including the bill, we at least require the majority to dispose of those. In terms of other reports and so on and so forth, it's just one set. Now, based on that, just to ensure that we don't have confusion going forward where members will have to go back to their house and so on, I propose that we dispose of the minutes before we go to the department. We dispose of the minutes quickly and then whilst we have the necessary majority in the meeting. Are we agreed? Thank you very much. Yeah, no, you can go left. Okay, members, now that you have all the minutes, we shall start with Tuesday, the 22nd of May, 2018. I'm on page 1. Any change on page 1? Page 2? Page 3?
and page 4. Can I get a mover for adoption? Honorable Madela?
I move, Chair, for adoption.
Honorable Tongwana? Thank you very much. Tuesday, 29th May, 2018, page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Can I get a mover for adoption? Honorable Mapanga.
Then, sir, I move for the adoption.
Seconder. Honorable Madela.
I second, sir.
Thank you very much. 5th of May, page 1. Yeah, 5th of June, sorry. I was born on the 5th of May, by the way, so don't worry. Page 2. Page 3. If I'm too fast, you must tell me. Page 4. Page 5. Can I get a mover for adoption? So you are rejecting this minute. Honorable Mapanga?
I don't say, but I move for the adoption.
You move for adoption. Seconder? Honorable Trebekulu?
Seconder.
Thank you very much. He was not there. He was there. He was not there. No, he was there. 7th of June, page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. And page 5. Can I get a mover for adoption? Honorable Kruger? Van Dalen, sorry. Move, seconder. Honorable Madela, thank you very much. 21st of August, page 1. Page 2. And page 3. Can I get a mover for adoption? Honorable Filtani.
I formally move for the adoption of the minutes on the 21st.
Seconder. Honorable Van Dalen. Thank you very much. We are now done with the minutes. Shall we now proceed to the next item, which is the briefing by the department. Deputy Minister.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, honourable members, colleagues, ladies and gentlemen. As you know, that in the past 2 weeks we had briefings about the state of readiness of the provinces. Today we are then from the department side of view, also following up on that. The Director General will lead the discussion. Thank you very much. Honourable Chair, the Minister is in the NC not very sure whether the apology has come, because he has said he has sent the apology.
The apology, come minister. Apparently we don't have a formal apology. We don't have it.
We'll follow up on that. Chair, you have under the impression that it has been sent at the meeting with him this morning. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much. DG.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Deputy Minister. The presentation will take two forms. One would be an explanation of how we came about to organize for an effective and efficient system of delivery for the planting field at the national and provincial level. I will take that presentation because, in my view, it is very important. It is the first time we've begun to have an integrated approach to service delivery in the agricultural sector. The second part, which you permitting, is really a summation of what has been comprehensively presented to this Honorable House by various provinces. Because it is a summation, you may therefore perhaps permit that my colleague present it through and run through it. Now, coming to the first part of the presentation, I would then say, preface it by saying that it is premised on the National Development Plan Vision 2030, which specifically speaks about an integrated and inclusive rural economy. And it's very significant that one makes reference, because Chapter 6 of that plan, of the National Development Plan, which speaks about this integrated and rural and inclusive rural economy, delineates, in Chapter 6, is delineated what that means. And I'm not going to go into detail. The presentation is up on the slide. It details, talk about an economy that increases jobs by increasing irrigated agriculture, supporting industrial industries and regions with highest growth and potential, focus on value chains and agro-processing. I think the area of agro-processing has been known to be an area of growth in agriculture as opposed to the primary agriculture. Well, land reform, and the strategies that are being developed there. But I think I want to come to the planning side. We had to call about 25 stakeholders consisting of all former organizations, the private sector, and developmental financial institutions. We had to ensure that as we bring these people together, we get maximum consultation as to how they think we should begin to implement planting season strategies. But for that to occur, we needed to be together in terms of understanding the vision, the objectives, and specifically how to measure those. To do so, we had to develop what we call terms of references, which define key activities, demarcate hectares into communal land reform and private land, understanding beneficiaries, consulting with provinces and stakeholders within provincial level, of course, dealing with the tractors that are already there. And I'm mentioning that input because the significance of it is that we've already costed it. The government's already purchased it. And the tendency is that once government has purchased inputs, those inputs will remain there, and the following season we talk new language. But we then have to do an evaluation of what is there, and among which is the cost of inputs. And that cost relates to tractors in particular. So we have to analyze what is there, and that our engineers are currently looking at. But Chair and honourable members, it's important that we not only identify these organizations, but understand their role. What is their role in the task team? Because they are not there just as members, but each one of them is going to create a detailed understanding of its own role to drive the efficiency that we need. So that at any point when we do an evaluation, we are able to say, so-and-so is doing 1-2, so-and-so is doing 1-3, and it leads to this result. To that extent, therefore, Chair, I will then take each one of them quickly. For example, DAF, NAMAC, ARC, PPC, PPP, PPECB, and provincial departments, their function is research, market access, verification, monitoring, a task that is hit government, monitoring and evaluation, identification of hectares of land that needs to be cultivated, provide production inputs and mechanization. That's the function of DAF. Now we go to cooperative governance and traditional affairs. That's COGTA. And that COGTA includes traditional affairs. It's really the whole idea of the agrarian revolution, the use of communal land here to not unutilized, the efficient use of that land, lying fallow. And now it is termed the agrarian revolution. And there is a strategy that drives it under Honorable Minister Kim. Well, you know about the Department of Rural Development. It's part of the player. They are playing a role. We're defining that role. VKB, it's a very strong private organization in the agri sector. It provides comprehensive agricultural services, advice especially on agricultural finance and grain storage facilities. For the first time, we're bringing an input that has not been there. Once you have harvested, what then happens? You store, because the fluctuation in the price of maize is known. And the fact that most people supply maize, plant maize and supply maize at the same time, in terms of the principles of supply and demand, you do more supply, naturally demand decreases, and therefore you have got an oversupply in the market. What it does to your pricing, it takes it out of whack. Once your pricing is out of whack, your cost to income ratio is also out of whack. So the emerging farmer begins to be hit harder. So what do? The best is to store. Once you store, it allows for future when there is lack of supply. And therefore you create more income for you at that point. That's why I said that I think this thing of storage and the definition of these roles is very important in my view. Senvers, of course, they've come up with production inputs and market access. They also come up with storage. You have Agri, comprehensive agricultural services, one of which is storage. To that effect, by the way, we are now, Chair, busy negotiating to buy some of these storage facilities from them for smallholder farmers, so that government can begin to own these, because they've been in the hand of the private sector, and the more they are there, the more the private sector begins to dictate the economy of agriculture, specifically the economy of smallholder farmers. This is important, the next one, GFAD. It is the Grain Farmers Association, the Farmers Development Association of South Africa. It's a small, is one of the smallholder commercial farmer organization. If you want to call it, it's a grain SA that is owned by black farmers. It's very important, the role it plays. In the Transkei in particular, it led to the creation of market access. More importantly, export market access. That led to Transkei commercial black farmers exporting to Vietnam. That's what divided it. And they are playing that role. Therefore, Chair, in the strategy of black commercialization of farmers, which the President spoke about in the 2016 2017 SONA, where we spoke about 50 commercial black farmers per province. That is the culmination of the pronouncement of that statement, which we spoke about when we started joining this department, that we will bring the black commercialization to the fore, and that has now culminated at this point in these black farmers not only becoming a beef exporter to China, which we created when it got in, but now they are exporting maize to Vietnam as part of that strategy. So they are here to begin to define that role for us. Skuman Gudere, wow, this is so beautiful. Mr. Skuman has brought up beans for smallholder farmers, about 500 hectares of beans, and is advising on a number of things. I said with this gentleman, is one of the most progressive Africana farmers I've seen. He is busy doing something that I wanted before in the black commercialization, which is mentorship. Without mentorship, we are not going to have this growth. Then we've got Grain SA, Mr. De Villiers was here, Yanni, presenting on grain the other day, while in Mandela's presentation. We brought him in as part of the task team. And his major task,
KJ, I'm going to advise that you must not spend a lot of time in explaining the role of the stakeholders.
Okay.
In the interest of time, because from time to time, members must go to their house to vote
okay.
and so on and so forth.
Thank you,
you must spend a lot of time on key issues. Thank you.
So we have condition. We have got United Seeds. They are talking about, they were dealing with seeds there. We have got the banking sector. We have got insurance industry. Very important to ensure that we ensure the products of farmers in case of drought, in case of diseases, in case of many adversaries that affect farmers. Agri-SA is also a farmer organization. We have got, they are all there to play a significant role to ensure there is efficiency for the first time for the planting season. They are coming in the form of the planting season task team. Chair, that's basically what we have introduced this year. That is what is driving this process. Now, the next presentation is going to be a presentation by my colleague, Dr. Mueng, which is really a summation of what the province has presented last time. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members. GM, thank you, sir.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee for Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, Honorable Deputy Minister. I will take over from where DG left and just indicate that the previous years we have had planting going ahead, we have realized hectares. There have been challenges, and some of those challenges have been actually used to guide the process of this broad consultative process to say how do we make things better. And we are hoping, Honorable Chairperson, that the issues will be addressed in a bit more organized and strategic way. But the section that I'm going to take as far as the presentation is concerned, it starts with the implementation itself, because we are talking this current planting season and going beyond, especially in terms of the task team establishment. We have the signed APP targets, which we receive from provinces as we, as the honorable members from the portfolio committee were receiving on the 4th, on the 28th of August and 4th of September. Those have been consolidated, and in total, the government sector has planned or is pledging 104,701 hectares of commodities, and these have been endorsed by the various heads of departments in terms of saying each province will do so many hectares, with Eastern Cape leading there at 55,000 hectares, followed by Northwest and Limpopo doing the bulk of those 104,000 hectares. The next aspect is the hectares that are now broken into commodities to say exactly what our province is planning to do in terms of the 104,000 hectares. And over and above the 104,000 hectares, there are other additional hectares that are that come in based on the processes of the province that were not necessarily signed off by the province's head of departments. That is why we have a difference of 2,000 there, which is additional. But again, in terms of the commodities themselves, we see maize leading at 75%, which is 78,789 of the 104,000 hectares, followed by beans and vegetables. And this is a mix of the commodities that the current season will be engaging on. And the next slide is about the budget itself. And the budget that we are talking to now is only the CASF and ILIMA funding, which we have allocated through provinces, 866 million. And this money is spread again or split against the various commodities, and with maize again getting a bigger share, even though it's not significantly high. But as we were informed by provinces, and we are also aware, there are partnerships, especially the partners that DG was just dwelling on. Some of those are already in existence, and those are formal partnerships like Grain SA as well as GFADA. Now, the next aspect that we were able to consolidate was the hectares that came from those stakeholders that we are now wanting to work with. And in total, those hectares, I mean, those stakeholders have actually indicated that they are doing 85,000 to 155,000 hectares on their own. But it's, again, I must also indicate that it's not necessarily on their own, because there's funding like Grain SA receiving funding from Jobs Fund. So that funding is used to actually enhance production in the various provinces, which are in the follow-up slide. But one of the areas that is a critical aspect for DAF now is that there is an additional 148,491,000 hectares that needs funding, that needs to be, that has to be facilitated by DAF to ensure that there is increase in terms of production. Besides the 88,000 hectares. The 88,000 hectares inputs are being delivered, and funding for that has been secured already. The details for these additional hectares are following on the next slide, with provinces that are going to receive this support from the private sector partners listed there. You can see GFADA working with the 7 provinces except Northern Cape and Western Cape, and Grain SA as well having their breakdown in terms of the hectares they would be doing for this financial year, as well as VKB. And the next area is the hectares by SAFDA. These are some of the hectares that will be used for sugarcane, but some of them are going to be put under production for maize. And the AFASA also submitted. These AFASA hectares have not been initiated yet, because they are only mainly focusing on fruit for those provinces. And then we did a summary as DAF of the state of readiness. And on overall, based on various aspects that have been looked at, the seeds ordered, the fertilizers, and then mechanization units, we are realizing that we are still a bit far at an average of around 61%. And these activities are discussed mainly in the task team that has been established, because the provincial departments of agriculture and the various provincial and national sector parties partners are sitting in that meeting, and this is the main part of the discussion, to say how do we make ourselves a bit more ready than we are now. And in terms of the mechanization units, I won't be dwelling much on this, but our engineers are currently doing an on-ground verification of where we are in terms of these tractors. Are they able to enter the ground and do the planting for the season and so on? But again, we also received this from provinces, and it has indicated that some tractors are ready to move on and some are not necessarily there.
and the cost incurred versus the budget that has been allocated. Again, they we are still around 34% as at this time of August 2018. But provinces have pledged and confirmed and said that they will be making this one area move a bit more faster, especially after the engagements with the various provinces. And then the jobs that will be created by all this work are around 12,161 jobs. We added blended funding after the portfolio committee meetings of provinces, whereby we were actually considering the, some of the questions that the honorable members raised. We thought maybe it would be an opportune time to share a little bit and shed some light in terms of how far we are, because one of the honorable members was asking to say, oh, how can people or how can institutions access this blended funding. Now, the slide that is talking on the entire process is just illustrating the process of saying how does the farmer start with the application, and then they will be taking those applications to the financial institutions, and the financial institutions as part of our partners, especially in this case we have committed in a form of an MOU with the Land Bank. There is a funding forum there that will sit and screen the applications, and they will be taken through a process of both loan and grant funding, hence the blended funding. And the next slide, the DGs of rural development staff, because now we have also pulled in rural development into the blended funding aspects to say us as DAF and rural development will support in terms of the grant fund, and the loan funding component will come from the banks. The next aspect is the end-to-end process in reality, and it's just indicating as well that the producers would either be a legal entity whereby they will apply for both grant and loan, but their assessment will be based on the credibility of those applicants. And then the commercial banks will play a critical role as part of the funding in terms of the loan. And then the funding forum, which has already been established, will be selecting and approving the grant portion of the fund. And the fund manager for the banks would actually indicate on the final decision as well as the granting of such funding. And then we have added the element of insurance into the funding stream, just in case there are areas that are considered hazardous for the commodities that are funded in terms of climate change. And we also indicated the aspects of or categories of these farmers and producers, starting from these households or the subsistence producers. And I must also mention that this is in line with the national policy on comprehensive producer development support that we are working on currently, to say there will be subsistence producers that will entirely depend on the existing grants that are not going to be part of the blended funding. And there are also still smallholder producers that we regard as far as this process as also confined or mostly dependent on the grants themselves. But as soon as a smallholder producer realizes a turnover of over 500,000 per annum, they will be now given an opportunity to qualify to become a part of the applicants that fall into the blended funding stream, as well as the large scale producers. And my next and last area is the reporting, which is very important. This also we brought in based on the questions that the honorable members were asking, to say, how are you going to be sure that there is a database of these producers that you have supported, and including how do you monitor this work? DAF has also assigned DDGs to various provinces that are supposed to ensure that the provinces' planned work is reported as agreed with the DAF, and DG mentioned the agrarian revolution, which we have said the provinces should actually be very clear in terms of saying which land is land reform versus the private land and communal land, as mandated by the NDP, to say we will need to develop more of the communal land, which is in our which we have access to, and we are in partnership, as indicated earlier by the DG, with COCTA as well as rural development. But the reporting aspect is that there are already agreed upon templates where the reports should where in the reports should follow such templates, and the verification is actually the responsibility of DAF, but in this case it will include now the sector partners as part of the DAF team, and there are already templates that have been agreed upon in terms of what it is that provinces are expected to report on, and these will be now cascaded to the sector partners so that we have a broad overview of how the sector itself is performing. And I think on that note, Chairperson, I will, Honourable Chairperson, I will end there. Thank you very much.
DM, DG, are you done?
Thanks, Chair. I think we are covered. You are covered. I love this term of covered. On our Van Darling, any other hand, on our Madela, on our Filtani, in that order.
Yes, Chairperson, I, you know, the correctness of information that we get, and if you look on page 15, you will see that Limpopo have had 1.3 million tons of fertilizer ordered. And there are 201,000 tons of seeds that they ordered. Now, I don't think that is possible on a 13,000 hectare piece of property. So maybe there must, and in the bottom, the totals, they show fertilizer ordered for all the provinces, 1.3 million tons. It seems quite a bit too much. Maybe if somebody can correct it or tell me it's not true, or can confirm that it is so much. Thank you.
Honourable Madela.
Thank you very much, Chair. Just also on page 15, thank you for the presentation, DM. DG, Chair, my concern is just the overall state of readiness. It varies. What plans are afoot, DG, to ensure that, for example, the Eastern Cape, which is currently 35.8% ready, they indeed increase their readiness to equal the Northwest and the Western Cape 100%. There's a number of them. There's Gauteng, there's KZN, Mpumalanga, also Chair, and of course the Northern Cape. On the issue of the funding, the blended funding, Chair, one is a bit wide, you know, that we have a situation, DM, in particular DG, that we do get people applying for loans to procure land. And I know about one particular case which I've written to the land bank, motivating and encouraging them to consider an application speedily. But the land bank is taking their time, you know. The total value of the farm to be procured that will empower three farm workers to be the owners of land and own their own destiny they no longer have to just work on somebody else's land. You know, they can now work on their own land. The amount of money that that were applied for was not even 30% of the total projected cost, Chair. And yet we find that the land bank is really dragging its heels to allow a group of four people to procure a 4,000 hectare a piece of land which they already are leasing. Chair, they are leasing to buy, and they are really, really eager to procure that farm, Chair. One is also a bit worried about that particular aspect, because it contradicts the urgency and the need to transform land ownership and to empower, in particular, the land hungry, especially those who have experience and have been working on the land all their lives. You know, we did say in 1955 the land shall be shared among those that worked it. That seems to be an overall objective, but getting there are too many barriers, too many stumbling blocks, there are too many ways, bureaucratic ways of preventing that from happening. I'm sorry if I'm belaboring a point, but it is really, really frustrating. If you are in your constituency, you know all about these processes, you know where government is moving towards, and you see that officials are really dragging their heels. Chair, thank you.
What all for your time?
Thank you very much for this opportunity to share. I'm moving from a premise, so far as planning is concerned, that says that an APP is a program for the year, which then gets broken down to various projects to actualize that program for the year. And therefore, here today, we're specifically dealing with this particular stage of that broader program. This talking about the planting season, so to speak. Now, you've given us a appreciatively long list of private sector organizations with which you planned and with which you will be working. Now, some of them are commercial. Others are commercial in intent. Now, based on that, what I would like to know is, what is the expected value of these various crops? I'm asking this question because you favored us with the cost, and that's part of the commercialization concept, so to speak, the input cost. But the presentation to me appears to lack what the government is actually about, which is, if Jifada, for instance, helps with the commercialization according to what you presented to us, then naturally one expects that Jifada would be helpful together with other organizations to say, therefore, the value of the harvest will be so much, given that you know more or less how much it's going to cost. So what is the value of of what you are going to plant? Now, the other missing link is the risks. We know that we've got this ever-hanging risk of drought. I would have expected that at this particular stage of the project, you would indicate to us what risks you anticipate during the planting season, as well as how you are planning to circumvent them. That's part of the project where we are, planting season. Especially that you have done this in conjunction with provinces, and we've got different, seasonal rates, so to speak, according to the different, provinces. But I'm not talking only about the risk of rain. There are many others. As old horses in the race, you know more or less what risks to take into account. Now, a third question, Chair, to finish off is, assuming that it is you are the frontmost department in fighting poverty of the stomach. In other words, food insecurity. And currently we have got about 13 million South African citizens who are food insecure, according to Stats SA. Now, I don't see any sentence here which indicates to us how, on the social side, besides the commercial side, or even through commercialization, what figures you intend using to dent that 13 million. And I'm raising this chair with particular reference to the debate currently taking place right in this very house, the possible amendment of the Constitution. A lot of organizations, particularly from the agricultural sector, bombarded us here last week with statements to the effect that government has not been successful in running, you know, programs of an agricultural nature. And so that's why I feel that this is a matter that needs to be addressed by this very department, to say that we will prove to the world that we can dent, you know, food insecurity by so many hundreds of thousands of people. We don't necessarily, with the little fiscus that you're making do with, we don't expect you to be talking millions. But at least an indication to say, with this kind of budget that we're going to use during this planting season, we expect to move so many people out of poverty and trapment. Thank you very much, Chair.
DM, let's take the first out. We shall come to the second out.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, honorable members. If I was to start with the last question, because I think what it says, I think it has been covered. It was also raised when you looked at the financial or commercial returns. I think the honorable member is saying that let's improve on our indicators. I think we need to do that both for ourselves and for the benefit of the House. And I think we take that point, and I think by the next time we come back, we must have dealt with that. Then another area that I would like to deal with is the question of the question raised by Honorable Mandela on Planet Finance and the turnaround time of the land bank. Honorable Mandela, I think as early as was it yesterday or 2 days ago, it's a matter that we addressed. Ms. Elda Mchiza was here. We discussed this matter, that there's definitely a concern about the turnaround time and factoring in the fact that things are so fluid. The longer you take to respond to these things, you may find that the opportunity was there for the workers is gone. But again, the financial situation also changes overnight. Something that you might have got for 2 million rand, the following day maybe 3 million rand. So the turnaround time is an issue. And Ms. Elda Mchiza was having this discussion with the land bank. I'm still waiting for the report, but it's a problem that we ourselves have identified. And the longer it takes, the more risks come up. I just thought, let me deal with those two things and say we agree 100% that there is an issue around the turnaround time of the land bank. I hope if you look at that diagram which was talking about many players, well and good that for oversight, but it shouldn't also be creating unnecessary bureaucracy and delaying things which could have been dealt with much easier and much faster. But I'll allow the DG to come in with the rest of the questions. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, DM. Thank you, honourable members. I think I will start with the question that was on the ratios of hectares to fertilizer and the inaccuracy of those measurements. I think it's a matter of detail, because most of these are averaged here, and I take the point that we need to correct. We need to go and check the numbers that the province has inputted. but I would not argue them that much, because your fertilizer increases by the number of your hectares. And if we have 13,000 hectares and you are putting about 10 bags of lime. But let me say, it's a matter that I have to come back to you. I'm not sure if it is not accurate at this point, but I'll come back to you about that, Mr. Van der Linde. The issue of the stumbling block around land acquisition, I fully agree with you, sir. It is a major problem that they are sitting with at the rural development, and I think it's a question that we, together with our colleagues in rural development, we need to work with. People are frustrated to the nature of how they can acquire land. And then that's a problem, I agree. I'll come back with an answer on that one. Crop value of planting, Mr. Sultani. I think this one, we need to calculate. There are two things that we have been fighting. One, the agrarian revolution is fighting food security, food insecurity. So the major objective is to drive food security first. We call it food strategy. So we are then addressing the communal land that has not been planted, precisely to say at any point when there is a disaster in South Africa, we will make sure that there is food that's available. We have not calculated indeed the cost will come. What is the value of the crops that will come? And I think we need to feature that in. The risk mitigation around disasters, I think risk mitigation strategies have been coming up. I remember the chair of this committee has been coming with that. We are perfecting that. That's why in one of the committees, our Weather Bureau. Our Weather Bureau is part of us, and that's why the ERC came to present on weather patterns. I think that's one thing we're going to be looking at. But more importantly, during the planting and harvesting part of the planting of the planting season, is what we call fire breaks. To ensure that when it comes to fire, which is what is causing a lot of problems, people have got fire breaks to ensure they protect their crops. Eastern Cape and the level of readiness of provinces, and they are putting percentages. I think this issue of percentages and the readiness is confusing a lot of members. And I think we need to remove. I have asked the provinces to remove that. As long as they cannot define that temperature, what does 35% mean in real terms? What does it mean? Is the tractor serviced? Can it come in tomorrow? If they cannot define that 30% percentage in real terms, that's going to be a problem. So we're correcting that thing. I think DM has covered quite a number of issues around funding and stuff, unless my colleague would like to add.
Additions?
Maybe
yeah.
one addition, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, what will be done by DAF to improve the readiness, which we are seeing that it's a bit behind? The planting season task team has actually crafted an implementation plan that will be implemented as of next week in September. And it has been consulted upon by various stakeholders, and there's confirmation that provinces have always been planning outside of the bigger sector, and we are addressing that through the task team.
Any other addition?
I'm taking the next round, which will be the last round. Honorable Van der Linde, Honorable Mapanga, then Honorable Filtani, and then myself. Or I'm told that the DM want to add before the second round.
Thanks, Chair. I wanted to ask Ms. Nchiza to talk about the issue which was raised around the land bank, because she has just dealt with it. I thought she may provide the committee with something, because it's a meeting that they just had to exactly address the concerns that were raised by Honorable Madden.
Around the turnaround time, DM was actually scheduled for today at 10 a.m. But SDM has said we have called the CEO of the land bank and that meeting is now scheduled for tomorrow. But it's precisely to address the turnaround time, also to make sure that there's the same understanding throughout their regions around what government is trying to achieve in commercializing this land project. And the lead time that the credit committee has shared with us is that they, once the application is ready, that decision can be taken within a week. So if credit is committing to a week, we need to understand what takes months and even years for a decision to be made. And we are hoping with the introduction of the blended funding that this would also assist the land bank to become relevant and to be responsive to the needs of our producers, but also to understand what else do we still need to do as government to support them in getting the job done and done quickly. Thank you.
In that order, it's Honourable Van Dalen, Mapanga, and Honourable Filthani.
Yes, thank you, Didi. Just on the question of the 1.378 million tons of fertilizer, it's not possible. That figure is too big. It's just not possible, unless it was stolen somewhere. But I mean, it can't be. It's just too much. Then how? I need to get your opinion on this. And the question I'm asking is, how does the 30% shrinkage of the agricultural sector, according to Stats SA, and then the recession that we have now, plus the legacy of the drought that we have, and then now the farmers, they are saying, look, we'll be waiting before to see what's happening with the land issue, because we don't want to plant and somebody else will be taking off what we have planted on the land to take off our farm. So how is that going to affect food security in the long run in this country? Can you give me your opinion on it? And if you don't think it's a problem, you can tell us. But if you think it's a problem, please tell us how you're going to address it. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, mine is on page 16 with regard to the mechanization status and interest. Chair, it is indicated that in some provinces like the Free State, Limpopo, Northern Cape, and Western Cape, it's only Daft who has donated 72 tractors per province. And those provinces, they didn't donate anything to their farmers. So it means that those provinces, on those provinces, the farmers are depending on the tractors from Daft, which are only 72. So my question is, are those 72 tractors per province enough for assisting the farmers? I submit, Chair.
On our field, Tani.
Thanks for the second bite, Chair. Just briefly, I've got nothing new except to request that we give the department, or rather the department gives us an indication as to when they would come back to us with the information that I suggested should be part of this plan, like that statistical information that I asked for. They are the ones who would know how much time they need to prepare, so that we've got a comprehensive plan. The thing is, we're heading to elections, and we want to leave a legacy as the committee of the Fifth Parliament to say we're able to assist the department to a certain level of planning, so that come the next Sixth Parliament, then at least that will be part of the routine going forward. Thank you, Chair.
Are you done on our members? Because once I've spoken, after they've answered, I'm going to close the meeting. And I want you to be satisfied. No, you know, DM, I'm happy that there's a task team, which I move from an assumption that we plan together, we interact and so on.
which therefore suggests that when we report, it means our reports must talk to each other. There can't be a contradiction. And once there's a contradiction, it means there is some problem with interaction, DG. And I want to make one practical example on slide 15, where you talk about the readiness. Now, you will recall that this committee interacted with almost all the provinces on the readiness. And even yourself, you have indicated that what you are presenting is a summary of those presentations. Now, let me just show you a few contradictions. The province of the Eastern Cape, in their report, they said to us, in terms of readiness, they are 95% ready. In your summary, you are saying they are 35.8% ready. So something doesn't add up. It means there is a problem somewhere. Gauteng said they are 90% ready, you are saying they are 50% ready. Something doesn't add up. Northwest said they are 75% ready, you are saying they are 100% ready. So it means that there is a problem somewhere in the task team where you interact and so on. So we'll have to resolve that matter, just to ensure that there is consistency, that whatever we report, we talk to each other and so on. There are no contradictions. That is going forward. The other matter which I would have wished that you would have presented before the committee, you know, Dr. Mueng mentions an important thing, that you are learning from the previous experience. You are learning from the previous experience that there were challenges and so on. It would have been better for purposes of this meeting just to indicate that previously these were the challenges. And we are learning from these challenges. This is what we have done to attend to those challenges. It will make work easier and so on. Then we are able to see and also to say ourselves that indeed the department have learned from previous challenges and they are moving forward and they are attending to these matters. The question now is, you know, you mentioned the blended funding model. Is it already in operation? And I want honesty on this one. And if it is not in operation, when is it going to be fully operational? Because it is important for this committee to know in order for us to get into this thing. Because it is an important thing, it is an important structure, it is an important model. We must work on it and ensure that the department does what is written here. Now, just the last point which I would want to raise is on slide 16. The slide which Honorable Mapanga was talking to, where you are indicating that the small-scale farmers produce on average 1.7 to 2 tons per hectare, while commercial farmers produce 5 to 9 tons per hectare. And if you look into the investment, small-scale farmers, they invest about, on average, 13,000, and the commercial farmers, 8,000. But in terms of tons, the other one produces less, the other one produces more, and so on, which is a problem. And related to that is that all of them, it seems it is just one number. You don't even take into consideration the soil conditions, because I move from the assumption that based on the soil conditions, they might not produce the same and so on and so forth. So if you could comment on those, I'll be very happy. Thanks. DM, I'm handing over to you now.
Thank you, Chair. If I may start from some of the questions that you have, and issues that you have raised, I think it's very clear from your comment that as we sit here the past 2 weeks,
we received different states of readiness from the provinces, from what we are reporting now. I think we need to expect to explain that discrepancy. And the fact that I don't think after they've been here, we'll be able to be in the task team, because there is this process that we're also getting into. But I think it's a glaring inconsistency. We take the point. And let's also agree, Chair, that in us improving our reporting, the question of learning from the previous challenges, I think becomes very important as a starting point, and then from there to exactly how are we improving so that we have got better outcomes going forward. I think again this is a very clear instruction from your good sense that we need to do that, and agree with that. It also shows us if we are making progress or retrogressing from what would have happened previously. Talking about the question of blended finance, Chair, it is operational, but it is not fully operational. We have started, and there are definitely still some teething problems, hence the issue that we raised in relation to the issues, the turnaround time for stamps, that it's a new product, and there are still teething problems. But it is operational. DAF has already transferred money to the land bank to play with them, to make sure that this product is fully operational. So we are attending to these challenges that have been raised. Perhaps let me come to the first question about the impact of all these things which are taking place for the discussions around the expropriation of land without compensation, the impact of drought and so on and so forth, as to what will the impact of that be, for instance, amongst others, on food security. Chair, I must argue that it's very important that we don't become presumptuous about the effect of those things, and I don't think there is anybody who will say knows exactly what's going to be the impact of all these variables and these discussions which are taking place. So it can't happen. It is definitely a science of forecasting and modeling, and a lot of assumptions that you make through the process. So it will definitely not be it's a process that we haven't gone through. But again, as we know, that the science of forecasting is an imperfect science. We can't come here before the committee and say, that's going to be the impact, for instance, on GDP growth. This is going to be the impact on employment creation. This is going to be the impact on food security or food insecurity. We'll definitely be presumptuous. All what I think we would love to say to the honorable members is that the sooner we come to conclusions of all these things, the better. So that the market and all of us knows what we're dealing with. What I know about the economic actors, what they do, they factor and they price everything, as long as they are certain what is happening. So what, from our side, I think what we'll say is that the sooner we come to the determination and conclusion of all these uncertain things, as you would know, that one of the areas which have been raised, whether by the rating agencies and in potential investors, is the question of policy uncertainty. So this some of the things that honorable member is raising, they fall into that category, that we need to be certain as to how we deal with certain things and what our policy says. Once there's a policy, one thing I know is that economic agents, they just factor those things in. If they need to price them in their prices, they also do that. I think I'll then allow the DG Chair, with your permission, to proceed and take other questions which are raised by honorable members. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. I think DM has answered the issue of the perception and how the economy reacts to that. And it's a function of confidence and how we ourselves articulate that confidence out there. And there are functions on that. Then we factor all the variables that DM was talking about. But when it comes to the issues of the tractors in particular, I think Honorable Mapanga raised a very important point around that we have been using what they call PMUs, unfortunately. They call them these PMUs are these project management units, such as what is it in the Eastern Cape? The Eastern Cape Agricultural Organization, we employ ECRDA, Eastern Cape Rural Development Agency, that we employed to assist farmers in the mechanization. Similarly, in other provinces, we have got things like those. Mm-hmm. But we also do the tractors, we do the tractors in addition. These tractors cost us a lot of money. All we are going to do now, the reason we have brought them up to the fore, mm-hmm. is just to account for them. We are now going to put GPSs on them to ensure that we can track the tractor at any given point in time. We have seen now that the work in the Western Cape. In the Western Cape. I think the one on the contradictions, I'm as surprised as everyone is. So maybe my operational team can talk to that, because I would have expected that basic elementary is done at that level. So I'm leaving at that point. I'm not going to take pressure on that one.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members for the questions, which we take very seriously and take note of, and in particular the information on slide 15. We are noting such, and we will indeed work through the task team, especially involvement of the HODs, because some of these figures were received from the provinces, and I must also be as surprised as the TG to say some of the presentations that were made at portfolio committee were a bit surprising to us, but it's work that we have to engage in as staff, and we need to take responsibility for that, because as some provinces were presenting, we had not seen some of their information, and I think that is not an excuse. It's something that says we really need to strengthen our relationship with the provinces outside of these processes of the oversight bodies of parliament. We will indeed look at this, but we as DAP would want to present the truth, what is really there. And I think we will take responsibility for such, that there is no point of us saying we are 100% ready when we know definitely on the ground that there is no such. Because now with the involvement of the task team that involved your AFASA, your SA, Grain SA, your SAA, what is this other one? Agri SA, the truth comes out in the meeting. So we will need to reflect what is happening on the ground. On that note, we would also want to come to Honorable Filtani's issue of saying we would come back with a plan that that captures the issues that the PC has raised, to say you are not considering the risks, you are not considering the poverty elimination aspects. Consider those, because when we were doing this presentation, we were saying we are just wanting to give an overview of that as we have picked it up from provinces' submissions, which of course were amended along the way, which we take full responsibility of still. And in terms of Honorable Van Dalen's aspect that 1.3 million fertilizers is a lot, we would also consider and check that, because these figures again we receive from provinces, it's guidance that we must provide as national, to say there is no way that Limpopo only can just do so much fertilizer on their own, what money and which resources would they have received for them to realize so much. But coming to the issue of the blended, DM has already spoken to that. The funding forum has already been established. That funding forum awaits applications to go through the banks. Those applications that are with the banks will actually be checked and then taken through the forum for the grant facility. So it's more or less operational. Maybe let me say more or less, it is operational. as far as we as DAF are concerned. And then the comment on the input costs and the tonnages actually also relates, as asked by the Honorable Chairperson, also relates to the question that Honorable Fitana raised to say, what is the value of these inputs and the cost that you are putting into the soil? We are aware, fully aware, that currently the tonnage that our communal areas and our smallholder producers and subsistence realize is between 1.7 tons and 2 tons at the most. And this is totally different from what the private sector partners have realized, especially in the Eastern Cape with the involvement of GFADA. Those farmers were harvested high tonnages compared to their previous experience. Now, bringing this sector partners is exactly to do that, that we don't say this is communal land. Irrespective of what land it is, it has to be improved in terms of its capability as far as tonnage is concerned. That is why we're saying let's bring every hand that we can get onto the fore, so that we don't say these are commercial farmers in private farms. That's why they are able to achieve 9 tons per hectare. What makes the communal land areas not achieve such? That is the whole point of this exercise that we are engaging and embarking on as DAF. Be it the soil that is not ready or it needs amelioration that has not been done. So we need to get to that level of involvement. But what Honorable Chair was saying in terms of the cost is that it's very expensive for input costs in communal areas and especially subsistence and smallholder producer areas. They amount up to 13,000, sometimes even beyond, but the tonnage thereof that is realized is extremely low. So you would also even wonder if it's really necessary for them to take 13,000 into the soil or 13,000 to go buy themselves food that they can use immediately, as opposed to wait for a few months to get such food. So I think that was the explanation and the argument that we are still taking forward, that we are noting these issues. Because indeed, in the engagement that we have had, some commercial farmers have actually confessed that it's not even 10,000 hectares to do a maize on a hectare. It's much less, about 8,000. So we need to come to those grips and say, what makes our hectare cost so much when we are realizing such little tonnage?
Are you done from your side? Now, DM, if you look at the these members, you will realize that they look like people who are mourning. And then you will wonder why. One of the reasons is that, you know, agriculture at some point was one of the biggest contributors in our GDP. The situation has now changed, and so on. It means there is a problem somewhere where we need to intervene. We need to intervene. Because if all the sectors in agriculture, they don't work together, we are going to have serious problems. That's why when I started, I said I'm helping president. It's now this task team, which involves everybody, both public and the private sector, begin to plan together and so on, and take agriculture back where it belongs. You know, when we talk about creating jobs and so on and so forth, we always look at agriculture, and that it must create more jobs and so on, and those things are not happening. The other thing which we have raised on many occasions, and I'm not sure why are we not getting it right, Deputy Minister, monitoring and evaluation. You know, if that structure, the machine is properly wired and so on, you will not have this contradiction that we are talking about. Whether it's fertilizers versus hectares, whether it's information that is not talking to provinces and so on, you will not have these things. Because you will know that on a consistent basis, there is monitoring and evaluation and so on. And each and every information that comes is verified and so on. So if we can set up our systems in such a way that everybody is proud tomorrow about agriculture. And I can tell you now that we are not proud of what is happening in agriculture.
and we need to change the situation. And it is urgent. It is urgent. We hope that when we meet next time, which I think it will be after recess, things would have changed in agriculture. We'll see members smiling and so on and interacting fruitfully. Not these faces that look like people who are mourning and so on. I don't know who is to be buried, whether it's the Department of Agriculture or what is the situation. But let's get it right. That's the appeal we're making. Let's just get it right. We can't have this situation any longer. Honourable members, thank you very much. You assisted a lot. I did not hear any bell ringing. It means we will now proceed, all of us, to the House to ensure that we pass all these important pieces of legislation that are supposed to be passed by this House. Having said so, this meeting is adjourned.